Welcome to episode 31 of Tahrir Podcast. And I have no guest today. And that makes it the first episode where I just talk alone. And it's the 24th of October 2023. So this episode will probably be released after the Palestine episode, which I'm working on currently. So what I wanted to talk about today was the Egyptian state's war on truth, reality. Just like George Orwell's Oceania's war on truth and reality. So I want to start first by laying before you a couple of sentences, and then I'll get into each of them in detail later. Pro-state, social media, influencers say that the opposition and people criticizing them are the ones exercising repression, slash, as they call it, dictatorship, on them. 3 weeks ago, Egyptian President Sisi announced he would be running for a third term. What happened right after is that all Egyptian media institutions, be it cable TV or newspapers, the second day, said that he accepts the public demand of him running for a third term. So he's just fulfilling a public demand, not that he is actually doing it himself. And then there is an Egyptian parliamentarian arguing that this would be Sisi's second term, not third. I know this episode might be a little weird and a little slow, and I don't think I'll be editing it for that purpose, to relay some sense of reality amidst this storm of disinformation and manipulation and censorship. And also that I'm obviously hurting for the Gaza genocide happening as I speak, and probably as you listen as well. There's a powerful Palestine episode that I'm currently working on. So what I want to start with is Sisi's running news, the news that was published on cable TV almost everywhere in the country, and all TV channels, the moment he declared he would be running. So the day before, they sent out lists and called for people to go to public squares to celebrate the 6th of October, or the Yom Kippur War's 50th anniversary. Some people went fulfilling this message that it was just celebrating the war's 50th anniversary. College students from almost every university in the country were tricked by their administrations and told that there would be a free concert, not necessarily celebrating the 50th anniversary of the war, taking place, and that they would provide them with transport. And that happened with almost every single university in the country. Another way they, quote, had people shipped to the two squares is government employees. So you'd either sign up and register that you'd be going, or you would have to send your national ID for some reason so that it would be registered that you did not go. And that could potentially prevent you from further promotions, that could prevent you from bonuses, and I'm pretty sure it can definitely get you fired at some point or make you vulnerable than most. And so the point is that that's how they got a number of people to go. Another way they did in the rally I went to, since you probably, most of you know that I'm based in Cairo, was in Heliopolis. And I couldn't take being there for a long time, so I just walked around, strolled, and heard what people were talking about. And so apparently locals from the area they get 100 Egyptian pounds, which I was surprised at the number. I thought it would be much higher, but at least 300, 400. But so that's about $3.5 US dollars and free transportation. And scouts from almost every church in the vicinity. And everyone didn't seem to be having a great time. There was a stage, people, the singers they had were singing patriotic songs. They were singing about how Sisi turned Egypt into a paradise. Literally, that was the lyrics of one song. It was really disturbing looking around. You wouldn't just see Sisi's face posters. I've seen them since I growing up as a teenager. You'd see them everywhere. But this time it was different. There were full body pictures of him dangling from all surrounding buildings and the stage. It was hilariously disturbing. Orwell didn't even dare go that far in his novel. I feel like the worst part and the most disturbing and absurd part about these whole rallies that ravaged Egypt the day Sisi was set to announce his run for third term was not the event itself or how they lured people into going, but the aftermath or what happened towards the end when Sisi was live and said that he'd be running for another term. I think the problem lies in how it was covered, which was not, of course, then again, it was not really surprising, but extremely, extremely disturbing. I remember every single headline and every single KB. I don't watch TV. I saw the pictures and I saw their live streams just for that purpose. I don't watch TV. It's been years. So I saw these headlines. Sisi responds to public demand and agrees to run for another term. They don't even use the term third term. I don't think there is anything, I don't think there is much that could be said about that. I mean, how far can you go? You paid people and tricked people to, quote, protest and demand that you run for a third term, and now you claim that fake manufactured victory. And also one thing that caught my attention at the rally was that it was not protected by police, which is normally and should be the case. But it was the Falcon Group's thugs. So there, it was the outsourced security. I mean, of course, there were police officers there and a lot of undercover cops. But the numbers were surprisingly not that much. It was extremely low. So I think it's interesting to see the shift of outsourcing state-sponsored, I don't know, celebrations. This does not count as a protest, even if state-manufactured. So outsourcing security to thugs, the Falcon Group, which is headed by an ex-con who was pardoned on medical grounds by the president, which is completely bullshit. He paid his way out. His name is Sabri Nakhnouch. You can Google him. He's a gangster. And so this guy is now the CEO of the Falcon Group, which was, quote, protecting this rally, pro-Sisi rally I went to. And then there's the other thing. Pro-state influencers arguing whenever they get the chance, either online or on TV, saying that it's the opposition and people criticizing us are the ones that are actually doing the oppression and the ones that are actually exercising dictatorship and so forth. This is a narrative that I've been exposed to either by watching clips of the National Dialogue or coming across their clips on either Twitter or Facebook, my feed, not even my feed, it's the recommended recommended content, ironically. And one thing they really seem to believe, not believe, I don't think they believe any of that bullshit, but one thing they seem to be really insistent on is that the people that are criticizing them and what they say. I don't want to say thoughts, because that's obviously not what any sane person would think, is that they say that people criticizing them, which are the same people that get thrown in jail and have been previously in jail for political work, not even only political work, but anything merely political, be it an article or a criticism or anything of that sort, are the ones doing the oppression. I don't think it gets more Orwellian than that. I think it's just ridiculous. And another thing about manipulation of truth having to do with the media is the day before or 2 days before the president announced running for a third term or another term, to use his lingo and the state's lingo rather. He was at this public event and he talked about how with only $30 million and some drugs, tramadol and bongo, which I think is marijuana or pot, I'm not sure. I'm also not sure if stoners would really be interested in this level of violence he was talking about. Is that with $30 million and some drugs, he could destabilize the country in only about 7 days. I think that's what he said, or 10 days. He said that he could bring down the country. A couple of hours after he said that, someone tweeted this ridiculous quote on Twitter, tweeting the video, of course. And a couple of hours later, the video was striked down on copyright grounds, and news articles started popping up with titles manipulating the truth, or not manipulating, faking the truth, speaking untruth. They misquoted him. They butchered his quote. His quote was so bad, his own media tried to save him, tried to save face. Which was, I think, equally disgusting and equally worrying, that truth is being manipulated at that level. Because this is not even, at this point, this is not just trying to paint him in a better picture or in better light, but this is fake. You are making stuff up. You are not even twisting truth. You are making complete nonsense, bullshit. And everyone knows you're bullshitting. So I don't see the point why that's business. Unless you are invested in the business of manipulating reality itself, and not only the past, but the future. I think Orwell's quote about the quote that goes, "Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past." I think this quote puts into perspective what's happening right now in Egypt. And then there is the... But then again, I think this episode will be all over the place. But then again, this is an attempt to preserve sanity and preserve truth. Or not truth, let me not use that term. I don't think there's an absolute truth. And I have... It's really irritating when people talk about truth as if it's absolute and as if there is one truth that you have to accept. But my point is to maybe preserve reality, because I was there and the picture that was reflected to Egyptian media was the complete opposite of what was happening on the ground in real time. And so this is also an attempt to orally document what happened, what really happened. Because I think it also takes us to another topic, which is Arabic language media. And that's there's a dilemma here. I think, I don't know, this might sound slightly controversial, but I think it's true. I am more likely to take a non-Arabic source more seriously than an Arabic source. And the reasons are quite clear. Arabic media institutions or organizations are, of course not all of them, but most of them, are controlled by states, whether it's the Egyptian state, whether it's the Saudi state, whether it's the Emirati state, whether it's the Qatari state, any of that. And I think there lies problems there. On the other hand, Arabic writing, to begin with, is... I mean, Arabs are not free. For the most part, Arabs are not free to freely express themselves and be free. So that definitely affects their output and then production, especially when it comes to... So it affects many fields, if not all fields. And especially when it comes to journalism and writing, which you could quite clearly see that reflected. And I think that's extremely important to keep in mind. And states, or what I'm concerned with, the Egyptian state's huge concern and control of the media is extremely troubling, and is there's no happy end for that. I mean, how can you fix that? And do they even acknowledge that there's something that needs fixing? I think these are all very important questions. I didn't talk about the history of the Egyptian state's assault on reality, because the past was not necessarily different, but it's not the 1960s anymore. I wonder what goes through these people's minds. Like, do they think they're doing a patriotic act or a favor, and also projecting a fake image of the ground, which is the complete opposite of journalism? This is not journalism. This is propaganda. And all states have their propaganda. This is not something exclusive of dictatorships or the Egyptian state. But the extent to which, how far you go, is, I've personally never seen something similar in any other discourse. But the fucking Chinese discourse or the North Korean discourse, and quite ironically, the Western discourse right now on Israel, and people trying to frame attacks as just as plain out simple terrorist attacks, just like ISIS or Al-Qaeda in 9/11, which is completely false. Hamas did not just massacre civilians for some religious reason. I mean, of course, their justifications are religious. They're an Islamist organization. But they did not spread terror for the sake of spreading terror. They did that because they viewed those they were killing as settlers and people that took over the land, which is, I wouldn't say it's untrue, but I also don't think killing women and children, civilians, is justified under any circumstance, but, and which both sides are guilty of and have been. It's a loop cycle. But then again, this is not my field, and that's why I'll be, that's why I'm working on a Palestine episode in which I'll have experts, some people on the ground, talk about the situation and the history of it and how it did not occur in a vacuum, which is the narrative that's dominating the Western discourse right now. And there'll also be an episode on the many episodes to come on the presidential election, as I was at the former potential presidential candidate Ahmed Tantawi's press conference that he said that he would not be able to run. I was physically there, and so I'd be talking about that, about the prospects and everything related to the presidential election in upcoming episodes. And I would love to hear from you, whether on Twitter or Instagram or via email. I am very reachable. And I usually joke about how I'm anonymous, but I'm the complete opposite of that. I just don't say my name publicly on the podcast, but if you Google it, you'll find it. So please reach out.
بيها تكوين كمان نفوسنا اللي بتغوينا ندخل برا الرابعة جوب كوبس تنط من عليها وفلوس نط فيها الورد الحلو ليها وفلوس عشان تتحملك واخوها يقل بقيمتك تنتقد بيها فهمك بحاسب نطوع من هيبة وتبقى بلونة فلوس تكفيها وفلوس تكتفي بيها فلوس نحرق بيها وفلوس نتحرق بيها تعبين تبخ السلم جوه عيونك المؤمنين بيها واللاعنين فيها ملعونين بيها احنا نص صوابع اللي تاهت في المحافظ عشان تحاسب بيها نمبر نفسي اكون دكتور بيداوي مرضى او مهندس رايح جاي بشرطة لو فاضية او محامي بمتين جنيه بدون البدلة مش فارقة او مدرس حمار حصاوي ربيله اخنا تلات طلبة مش فارقة نمبر نفسي اكون ممثل خدمة عملاء اخر عامل بشر في خدمتكم قبل ما الجهاز يسلم سبكم مش هتخلينه بسكر مش أزمة أو كهربائي سخنات مستني ست البيت تلم كله تدها لكنه ما يعرفش يا ستي مش فارقة لكن بتمنى ما يفشلش بيا الحاجة وأكون بدونة فلوس أكفيها وفلوس أكتفي بيها فلوس أحرق فيها وفلوس أتحرق بيها فلوس أبيت تحتيها وفلوس أكون بيها فلوس أتشاف بيها وفلوس أشوف بيها فلوس أكيد بيها وفلوس أشوف
شوف مين